bed and heal your sickness. And they can't do it either. I wish, and I encourage everyone to come to an altar. An altar, it's a good place to worship God in a public manner. It's a good place to make a decision for God. I encourage every child of God. Many Christians will never come because they're too proud. But those that have enough humility, I encourage every child of God to come to the altar and fall upon their face if you're physically able to cry out to a holy God. But I just want to remind you, when you get up from the altar, you'll have the same problems that you had when you went down in the altar. I've watched God heal sickness. We might as well be honest, God don't always heal the sickness. I've seen God do amazing miracles in my life and others' life, but God sometimes chooses not to give us the miracle.
Right.
In our life.
Right.
So if God would allow me just for a few moments, there's so many things that I don't know. We mentioned how Abraham and Isaac and God tested Abraham. He was testing the faith of Abraham. God, if I really love you, I'll not just serve you when things are well and things are good. But if I really love you, I'll serve you when things are bad. I'll still live for you when I don't understand why. In the last 3 years of my life, things that I thought I knew and things that I thought was sure in my life, now I've got questions. God, it seemed like I, at least that's what preachers have told me, that's what I've heard in the songs and the congregationals, that's what other Christians have told me, if I'm faithful enough and if I live for God enough and if I do right and I read my Bible and I pray enough hours and I'm faithful to that, I do all of those things, I won't have the problems that everybody else has. But I've found in the last 3 years, but that is not so.
That is right.
And that is not true. I wish I could tell every young person that was in this choir, if you're faithful to God, you'll never get sick. You'll always have plenty. You'll not have a problem in your life if you're just faithful to God and His Word. But if I told you that, I would be a liar.
Yes, sir.
Because that is not so. Oh yes. One day it will be worth it all. One day you'll be glad you were faithful in the valley. And one day you'll be thrilled that you stayed faithful to the things of God. But today, I have no answers for your problems.
Right.
And your trials. I've heard people say things like this. Well, I'm too blessed to be depressed. That makes for good preaching, but it's not real biblical.
Right.
I've heard people say things like this. I'm faithful to God, and I'm going to stay true to God, and God's going to take away my problems, and God's going to take away my valleys. I'm just going to serve Him, and that sounds wonderful. But that's not always true. And I am convinced in our churches, we have raised up a generation that now they're not serving God the way they should. They're not living for Jesus the way they should. Because when the first valley came and when the first problem came, they wondered why God would allow that in their life. And they have given up on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you tonight, oh yes, He's the God of the mountain. But He's the same God in the valley. He's the same God in the darkness. He's sitting on the same throne. God is always in control.
Amen.
So if God would let me, I just want to preach on what I know tonight. I want to preach on the things that I don't know why you have a valley. I don't know why there's sickness in your body. I don't know why God allowed this situation in your life. But I do know what the Bible has already said.
Yeah.
As we began in chapter number 4 and verse number 1, review repetition, which is the greatest Bible teacher. Paul reminded us in verse number 1, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't lose heart. God has already, whether you have a valley or whether you don't have a valley, whether there's sickness or whether you're healthy, it really don't matter, because God has already showed us mercy because of salvation. I'm not going to hell when I die. I'll never see the charred walls of the damned. I have been saved by the grace of God, and because we have already seen His mercy,
right,
we have no place to give up.
Amen.
We have no place to quit on God.
Amen.
We've seen the mercy. But then we began in verse number 7 last night. We have this treasure, salvation. But watch the Bible. When the Bible repeats itself, it is always emphasizing. When you find what is repeated many, not all the time, but many times, when you find what is repeated, I believe I can say this honestly, when you find what is repeated most of the time, you have found the context. You have found the intended meaning or the intended purpose for which it is given. So notice what he said in verse 7, just review. We have this treasure. Where is it at? Our salvation. Well, it's in an earthen vessel. That is this body. That is this brittle jar of clay. How many times have you heard somebody say, "Oh God, send your spirit"? Can I say he's already done it? I've heard choirs sing it up. "Oh God, send your spirit down." Well, can I say he's already done that too? I'll tell you, when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, it was the very moment you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You was washed in the blood, and now you have the Spirit of God. He is not sitting in these pews. You are not running up and down and out to get Him. If you have trusted Jesus, you have the Holy Ghost of God in you. And He is living inside of this body, in this earthen vessel. We have this treasure. Watch the Bible. We are troubled in verse 8 on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, struck down, but not destroyed. And then he says it again in verse 10. Always bearing about, where, Paul? In the body. Same term, the earthen vessel. Watch this. The dying. The death. In other words, if I want to represent Christ the way I should, it's going to take suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to take pain. It's going to take a cross in my life. Paul said, not sometimes, not part of the time, but always bearing about in my body the dying. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be, here it is again, might be made manifest where? In our body. That He might be revealed in this body. That He might be revealed when people see us in this body. Your family needs to see someone that'll not just serve Him when you're on the mountain. That'll not just be faithful when everything is well, but when you're suffering.
Yeah.
We need to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch verse 11, review. For we which live are always, always delivered unto death. Why? For Jesus' sake. Notice the intention, that the life also of Jesus might be, here it is again, might be made manifest. Where at, Paul? In our mortal flesh. It might be manifested. It has everything to do with the magnification. The more I serve God when I'm suffering, the bigger Jesus becomes inside of this body. We must represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Verse 14, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also our body, also how? By Jesus, and shall present us with you. That's why he said in verse 15, for all things, every problem, every valley, every good day, every bad day, for all things,
yeah,
are for your sakes.
Yeah.
That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Because of that, watch verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Same verse term in verse 1. We don't lose heart. Because yes, we will suffer. Yes, there will be problems. Yes, there will be valleys. Keep serving Jesus, young person. Keep living for Jesus, mom and dad. There will be valleys. There will be trials. But the Bible said, for which cause, because of those things, we don't lose heart. We faint not. We don't give up. Why? That this, because which cause we faint not, though our outward, here it is again, though our outward, the body, the earthen vessel, though our outward man perish, it's dying. The inward man, it's renewed day by day. This body's suffering. This body's dying. The treasure on the inside, your inward man, your spirit, your soul, is being renewed day by day. So look what he said in verse 17. For our light affliction, Paul, cancer is not light. He said, well, compared to what's to come, it's light. Trouble's not light. Compared to what's about to happen, it's light. For our light affliction, oh, here's why it's light. Because of the timing of the affliction. It's what but for a moment. It's only going to last for a little while. Oh, our sister's about to cross over on the other side. And maybe she's lived here for 60 some years. But compared to eternity, she may not have had a healthy body down here. But for a million years, she's going to have a glorified body up there. It's only for a moment.
Amen.
The timing of the affliction. What's it doing? What's our affliction doing? It worketh for us.
Yeah.
A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, we see problems, we see trials, we see suffering, but at the things which are not seen. Why? For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, I see cancer. I see hospitals. I see graveyards. I see wheelchairs. I see suffering. I see affliction. I'm telling you, I've never seen a street of gold, but it won't be long. I'm going to be walking on one. I've never seen walls of jasper, oh, but for all eternity, I'll be living in one. I've never lived in a mansion, oh, but it'll be worth it all one day. I've never seen the face of God, but in just a little while, I'll bow down and say, holy, holy, holy. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. Everything that we see down here is temporary. But what we have not seen, it's going to last forever. So chapter 5. I just want to tell you what I do now. Paul said in verse number 1, there's destruction that we know. For we know, here it is again, that if our earthly house, what is that? The earthen vessel. What is that? This body that you're living in right now. Well, what is that, this body that may have cancer, that may be suffering, that may be hurting, even while you're sitting in the office? I don't know everything. I don't know why you have cancer. I don't know why you're suffering. I don't know why God took my Rachel so early. But I do know this. This earthly house that we're living in now, of this tabernacle, that has everything to do with something that is just temporary. It will not last. We are not meant to live in this body forever. And here's what he said. In this place that is temporary, it were dissolved, it will be destroyed. It will be put back to the ground. It will go back to the dust. Here's what I do know. Paul said, oh, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, and it is eternal in the heavens. That has nothing to do with your mansion, though you're going to have a mansion. That has nothing to do with some man made home, though you will have a great place in heaven. But it has everything to do with a glorified body. And Paul said, here's what God's going to do for you. It'll be a building not made with hands. There'll be no sickness in that body. There'll be no suffering in that body. There'll be no need for hospitals in that body. And that body, it'll last for all eternity with the Lord. Paul said, I don't know why they beat me. I don't know why they always throw me in prison. I don't know why God gave me a thorn. But I know one thing. That's only temporary. One day I got a building. It's not your mansion. It's your glorified body. Not made with hands. What man does is temporary. But what God does is eternal. I don't know everything and I don't know much, but I know this. This body will be destroyed. But I have one that will last for all eternity when I see Him. There's the destruction that we know. Look at verse number 2 and 3. Number 2, look at the desire that we know. For in this, and what? This body, this earthen vessel, this brittle jar of clay, in this we groan. You know what Paul just said? As long as you're in this body, you're going to suffer. As long as you're in this body, there's going to be pain. For in this, we groan. But look at his desire. For in this body, we groan earnestly. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be spiritually, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. He said, I don't understand everything. I don't know everything that God allows down here. But he said, it is my desire to be clothed upon with a new body. It is my desire. I'll tell you why you suffer. I'll tell you why there's valleys. I'm more desiring a place to be with God than I've ever been before. I know what he means now. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to be with him. There may be a valley now. There may be suffering now. But God will put that desire. If you never suffered, you wouldn't want to leave.
That is right.
If this body never suffered, you'd always want to call this body home. But for the believer, good, here it is. Good evidence that you truly belong to God.
Come on.
It's how much you suffer in this body. You say, I've never heard that before. That's because we don't like that. But it's true.
Yeah, that's good.
That's Bible
truth. I've always wanted to go to heaven. When I was a little boy, Bible school, I wanted to go to heaven. But I really didn't have a desire. But you're looking at a preacher tonight. I don't have a death wish. I don't know if God will let me live 3 more hours or 30 more years, but I know this. If He took me right now, oh, what a day that'll be with my Jesus. I shall see. It'll be a land of sweet Beulah. I'm just here to tell you, because of your problems and because of your trials and because of your valleys, God puts a desire. Paul said, I don't know why I have these problems, but I know I have a desire to be with Him.
Yes, amen.
There's a destruction. There's a desire we know. But number 3, look at the development that we know in verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle, there it is again, this body, this tent, something that is temporary. As long as we're in this tabernacle, we do groan.
Yes.
This development. Being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. Why? That mortality. Mortality. Be swallowed up not in life,
yes, sir,
but of life.
Yeah, there you go.
For all eternity. There'll be no worry.
Yeah.
There'll be no pain.
Yeah.
There'll be no fear.
Right.
There'll be no death for all eternity.
Amen.
We'll be swallowed up of life.
Yeah.
For all eternity.
Yeah.
Paul said there's a development we know. Number 4, there's a down payment that we know. Verse 5, now he that... I love this. What's this old English word? We need to use these old English words. Hath wrought us. That simply means he's preparing us. How does he do it? Problems. Trials. He don't let these things happen because he hates you, because he's mad. He's preparing you. You know what God did? When he took my Rachel so early and so young, he's prepared me.
Yeah.
You get me ready.
Yeah.
He done something in my life. But I should thank him for it. He is wroughting you.
Yes, sir.
When you're lying in a hospital bed, he's just getting you ready.
That's it.
When you hear the news, cancer, he's just getting you ready.
Yeah. Amen.
Watch the Bible. Yeah. He's wrought us. He's prepared us. It's down payment. I love the terminology. Look at the instance of this language. For the self same thing. That simply means this very thing is God.
Yeah.
But what has he done? Who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. What's that mean? I got him.
Yes, sir.
He's living.
Yeah.
Inside of me. Our sister tested, what a wonderful testimony our sister gave earlier. I don't have to speak in tongues to get the Holy Spirit. I got the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He don't understand Chinese either. Somebody say amen right there. But you know why I got him? Not to act foolish. He's a down payment. When I feel like I can't go on no more, and when I don't even feel like a Christian, there's evidence. But when I don't feel the emotions of the revival and of the choir and of the preaching, there's still evidence.
That's right.
He's already made the down payment. What's that mean? I'm already driving the truck even though I don't own the title to the truck. I'm already in the car. I'm already living in the house because the down payment has been made. That's why the Bible says we're already seated in heavenly places. We already have a home in heaven. I'm glad the songwriter put it this way. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. But thank God one day I'll be in a home somewhere beyond the blue. I know that heaven is my home this year. I don't know it much, but I know I got a down payment. Number five, look at the direction that we know. Therefore, because of the down payment, therefore, we're always confident. Paul said, whether I'm in a jail or whether I'm preaching a lesson, always, whether I'm being beaten or whether I'm sitting at somebody's house, we're always confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know what he just said? It's not a bad thing for a Christian to die. As a matter of fact, Paul, we don't understand this language because we're not as spiritual as Paul. But Paul said, it's better for the Christian to be away from this body. Because as long as we're in this body, we're not in the presence of the Lord. God's been good this week. God's met with us this week. God has blessed us this week. Oh, but that's only a glimpse. We're only scratching the surface. Can you imagine that first glimpse of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine when you step in the presence of the Lord? What a hallelujah day it'll be for the child of God. It'll be worth it all when we see Him.
Yes,
amen. So look at the direction, verse 7. Here's the direction I know. Because of that, we walk by faith.
Yeah.
I must say, you know what that means? I don't know and I don't understand. I don't know why and I never will. But we walk by faith.
Yeah.
I don't know why God allowed this, but we're walking by faith.
Yeah.
I don't know why God didn't heal this. We walk by faith. I don't know why God didn't take care of this. We walk by faith.
Yeah.
Because one day, we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is there a direction we know. Number 6, and I'm done. Look at the destination that we know. He says it again, we're confident. He said in verse 6, we're confident, and I know. He said in verse 1, 4, we know. So he said in verse 8, we're still confident about this. And then he emphasizes, watch these two words. It has the tone of old Scripture. I say, it has to be with being proper. It's King's language. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. What body? This earthen vessel, this brittle jar of clay. To be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
The very moment my soul leaves this old body, we'll be in the presence. Somebody said the other day, my wife, her body anyway, is buried in Blue Ridge Cemetery. Pastor, my dad and mom's watching, and he ought to know this. I think it's hilarious. At Blue Ridge Cemetery over in Beckley, And he had four different plots given to him through the years. He had two on one side and two on the other. And so Rachel got real sick. He was always going to give me two of them. You know, we wanted to be buried there. So he said, Dale, when, you know, Rachel's getting real bad. He said, we better get the paperwork done. And I said, whatever we need to do. And he got it all done. They took care of it all. I had to just sign one thing there at his house. And so we got the other two grave plots. And we was at the cemetery. And it's right, it's beautiful, two plots, it's beautiful. But right on the side of the road, they're kind of in the back, but it's right on the side, easy to get to, and that kind of thing. And we was there in the cemetery, and the Rachel's body was going in the ground, and Dad looked at me about when everybody left, and he said, I didn't know they gave you these two. These are the best two. The other ones are way up on the hill somewhere in the corner. And I said, well, it's too late now. I mean, we can't take it back now. And, somebody told me the other day that my Rachel was over sleeping in the cemetery. I said, sir, I got to correct you. My Rachel ain't in that cancer-filled body. For 3 years, she ain't been sleeping under 6 feet of dirt and soil in Raleigh. But I do know where she's at. I can't explain it all. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all because the Bible said the moment at 6:30 on November 15th of 2022 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, when she took her last breath, immediately she was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. No more pain, no more suffering. She's with the Lord Jesus. Amen. To be absent from this body.
Yeah.
So here's the message. So many things that I don't know. There's things I thought I knew. In these last 3 years, I've wondered. I found out I don't know. But this is what I do know. Your loved one, your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your baby. They might have took their last breath in your womb. But they immediately was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't believe it. You don't have to. But it's true. Paul didn't know everything. But he said, I have confidence in this.
Yes.
One day, we'll be with him.
Amen.
Brother, if you would come and help us. I want to tell every young person in this building, there will be suffering, there will be pain, and there will be valleys. But if you live for Jesus, it'll be worth it all one day.
Amen.
I want to tell every mother and father, stay faithful. Because one day, you'll be in the presence of Jesus. I want to tell every Christian, just keep serving Him. Just keep living.
Yeah, amen.
I don't understand all this, but I know this. One day, we're going to cross over to the other side.
Yeah. Yeah.
There'll be no regrets.
That is right.
When we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus. I know it's Wednesday night. The church is here, the faithful. And I want to give the invitation this way. There's people in this building, there's people watching, there's people listening that want to give up. They want to throw in the towel. But I want to come to an altar in just a moment. All of us. Every young person, every mother and father, front, back, both sides of the middle. Maybe physically you can't kneel down, but you can sit on these front pews. You can stand along these walls. I think we all should come and say, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I know this. One day it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
And I'll see you face to face.
Yes, sir.
Can we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed? I'm going to pray and our brother's going to sing. But I want us all to come and say, Lord, I'm not going to give up. Whatever comes, feast or famine, whatever trial, whatever sickness, whatever, I'm not going to give up, Lord. I don't understand it. I don't know why you won't fix it. But even if you don't fix it, I'll still be faithful until I see you. Dear Heavenly Father, move in this invitation. God bless this invitation. God bless our brothers. These things help us now. Help those that are ready to give up to stay faithful another day. In Jesus' name. Brother, you sing as they go.